Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now enjoy the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mike.
And it's my privilege this morning to commend to you the sacred scriptures. The Bible is the fully inspired Word of God. It is the infallible revelation of His will, the authoritative revealer of doctrine, and the Bible is the trustworthy record of God's acts and history. So what do you say then? Let us prayerfully and humbly read and study the Bible more, for in it we will find hope for every crisis. But more importantly, we will find our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died to redeem us from sin. Will you please bow your heads with me as we pray? Our Father in heaven, what a privilege it is to worship you on this Sabbath day. And now as we take time in our sacred worship to open your word, we invite your Holy Spirit, Lord, please attend our time and grant us your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So open your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew, the second chapter, Matthew chapter 2. And today we wish to discuss the subject that we have entitled, Out of Egypt. So the study today is entitled, Out of Egypt. And let's go to God's Word. I'd like to start with verse number 10 and follow along with me. Matthew chapter 2, starting with verse 10, the Bible says, And when they saw the star, and of course the they here is the wise men that had come to Jerusalem from the east, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary and his mother. And what's the first thing they did? The Bible says they fell down. The second thing, what was the second thing? They worshiped. They worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed in their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee where? Into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. And that's the title of our study today, Out of Egypt. And Matthew here, he is quoting from the prophet Hosea. So keep a finger here in Matthew chapter 2, and let's go back in our Bibles to the book of Hosea, the 11th chapter, Hosea chapter 11. And let's see what the prophet said. Matthew is quoting from the prophet Hosea, talking about how Mary and Joseph went down into Egypt with the little babe, Jesus Christ, and was there and then came out of Egypt. So Hosea chapter 11, verse number 1, the prophet Hosea says, When Israel was a child, then I loved him, and called my son out of where? Out of Egypt. So here the prophet Hosea is speaking of Israel being the child of God, being the Son of God, and how God had called his son, had called Israel out of Egypt. So the country of Egypt, as we study in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the country of Egypt occupies a rather singular position towards Israel, towards God's people. It was often the shelter of the seed of Abraham. You remember Abraham himself went to Egypt when there was a famine in the land of where he was sojourning, where he was traveling. You also remember to Egypt, Joseph was taken that he might escape and his life would be spared from the death intended for him by his envious brothers. Into Egypt, as we all know, went the whole family of Jacob. And there they traveled and lived in what the Bible calls a strange land. It was there that Moses acquired the learning which was so useful to him in the later years of his life and ministry when he led God's people out of Egyptian bondage. It was out of Egypt that we see spoils that were taken, the goods and riches of Egypt that were taken with God's people, and furniture that became and that was used in the tabernacle that was made, as if to show that God intended to take out of the heathen hands an offering to his glory and honor. But while Egypt was for a while the shelter for the house of Israel, it became afterwards the house of bondage and a country filled with danger to the very existence of God's people. There was a useful purpose to be served by going down to Egypt for a while. When the sons of Jacob, when the sons of Israel went down to Egypt, through that time there, they were able to grow and be consolidated into a nation. They also there used and learned and acquired useful arts and trades and understandings, which they could not have learned while they wandered about in the wilderness of Palestine. So the lessons they learned there were valuable, but had to be learned in trial and persecution. And then, of course, finally, when their burdens seemed to be the heaviest, praise God, the day of liberty came. The time of liberty was dawning when the tally of the bricks were doubled. Moses was now on the scene. When men had come to their extremity in their slavery and in their trial and tribulation, God took his opportunity and gave them freedom and salvation and led Israel out of what? Out of Egypt. Both from the comfort of Egypt and the captivity of Egypt, God's people were called. That's what Hosea was talking about. And at the call of God, they came forth. God's people, we learn through this story and other stories in the Bible and through history, God's people at times may go into strange places, but they can never be destroyed. They never disappear. The hosts of God's people may even walk through the fire, as the three worthies did, but they shall not be burned. Neither Egypt of old, nor Babylon, nor Rome can destroy the royal people and the royal seed of God. Out of all the danger and trial, the church of God on earth must and will emerge from her affliction. Out of Egypt, the Bible says, I have called my son. And so Matthew here, the gospel writer, uses the prophecy of Hosea as an example of Christ, the divine seed, the man, the Holy One of God, Christ Jesus. He had to be called by an angel from the sheltering Egypt into which Joseph and his mother Mary had fled with him. And question, why did they have to flee the dominion of God's people? Why did they have to flee the land of Israel? Why did they have to flee the land of Palestine? They fled because to them there was found no room. There was no room for the soon-to-be-born Christ child, the text says in Luke chapter 2. There was no room in the inn. And then the Edomite. Who was the Edomite? The child-devouring, I'm going to put it that way, the child-devouring King Herod did his thing, and there was no room for this newborn king anywhere in Palestine. And so Joseph and Mary and the babe must go down to Egypt. And from that part of the story, I have thought about that a little bit. And one of the things I have thought is how sad is the picture of the visible church here. How sad is what? How sad is the picture of the visible church where Christ at times can find no room. There are the contending sects and divisions. In the first century, the main groups were the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees. There were the traditions and man-made laws that really had very little to do with the Christ child. There were the separations between the rich and the poor, the educated and the less educated. And then there was the walls that Israel built up around them. Walls that were built up between Jew and Gentile, between the church of the living God on earth versus the heathen nations of the world who, even at that time and through all time, were dying to know if there was any hope in the world. Israel of old, God's church at that time, was called to share the everlasting gospel to how many of the nations of the world? All the nations of the world. You remember the promise that was given to Abraham? Through you, the promised seed is going to come. And how many of the nations of the earth are going to be blessed? All of them. The good news of God's promised seed was given through his people, through Israel, from Abraham right on down the line. And by the time you land into the first century, the nation of Israel, God's people who have been given the promised seed, missed it when that promised seed was born right in their midst. And they not only missed it, but they had no room for the Christ child or his godly parents. Luke chapter 2 tells the story. There was no room in Israel's inn. As you read the birth of Christ through Matthew and through Luke, you get the picture that there was not only room in the inn, there was no room in the large homes of those who were well-to-do. There were no room in the homes of the political leaders. There were no rooms in the homes of the spiritual leaders or the temple precincts. The living church of God on earth had no room for the Christ child in the first century. Very sad. But you know what is really sad? What's really sad is that there was room in the first century, all over the place in the land of Palestine, especially in Jerusalem. There was room. But the church of the living God at that time that had room had no room for Jesus. And so by the angelic direction, Joseph and Mary and the babe Jesus go down to Egypt where Herod's warrant has no authority. Heathen Egypt will shield, while hypocritical Judea will slay. Jesus, like another Joseph, must be carried down to Egypt that the young child's life may be protected and preserved. The king of the Jews flees from his own dominions. The Lord of all must know the heart of a stranger in a strange land, the land of Egypt, because in the fullness of time, God's people had no room. In fact, the church didn't even know that this newborn king had arrived. The Bible tells us that they should have known, but had to be informed by wise men from the east, outsiders, came to Jerusalem asking the question. What was the question? Where is he that is to be born king of the Jews? And the story tells us that that caused an uproar in Jerusalem. The king heard about it, and he called the wise men in and talked to them about what they were doing here. And they shared with them, "We have come to worship your scriptures. Your sacred scriptures tell and prophesied of a newborn king who would be the Messiah to redeem us from sin. We from the east have come to worship this newborn king." I find it rather ironic, don't you, that those who were far off were the ones who were near and made room for Jesus. And those who were near ended up being what? Far off and didn't have room for Jesus. They should have known. In fact, when King Herod called in the church leaders and the professors from the university, he asked them, "Where is this newborn king going to be born?" And they were able to give the king an answer verbatim, and they quoted from Micah chapter 5. "You know, thou Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be little amongst the nations, but out of thee shall come the one who is to be king." And so, did they know the scripture? Yeah, they quoted it right when the king asked for it. Did they know in their hearts that the time had come? Weren't even looking. You know what? They were too busy with the business of life on earth and the hubbub of life on earth to even make application of the scriptures that they knew from an intellectual standpoint. They should have known. Some of them did know, but only head knowledge. Sometimes I think that there seems to be no more room for Christ in the church today than what there used to be. Is it okay if we try to make some applications now? We have the Word of God. We have the mission of Christ that has been given to today's last day church. But I have the question for us in my life and in your life. Have other things taken up the room to the place where we do not have much room for Christ and his cause, the principles of his kingdom and his commands? We have the Word of God. We know the mission of Christ has been given to us in this great Advent movement, but have other things taken up the room that Christ and his mission requires in order to be successful in our own hearts and minds, that we might be empowered to then share with those around us? The good news is the Christ child with his parents did come back out of Egypt. The Bible says when they were down in Egypt, the angel showed up and informed them that King Herod had died. It's okay to go back to the land of Palestine. And so they went back to the land of Palestine. Came to the area there in Judea
They found out that Herod's son Archelaus was ruling on the throne. They said, we better not live right here. And so they went up north. They went through Samaria and up into Galilee and settled at that small town called what? Nazareth, where the Bible says that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And at the right time, he began his public ministry, traveled all through Judea and Samaria and Galilee, went through cities and villages, and he taught and shared with the people the love of the Father and showed to the people what God was like. Two main reasons why Jesus came to earth. You've heard me say it before. Help me out here. Reason number one, to show us the love of who? The Father. And then number two, to redeem us from what? To redeem us from sin. And so Jesus had his public ministry where he preached and he taught and he lived the love of the Father and the principles of God's kingdom. And then he died on an old rugged cross to redeem you and I from sin. Rose again early on the first day of the week, ascended back to heaven, sat down at the right hand of his Father, and began his high priestly ministry in the heavenly sanctuary for you and for me. So that when we accept him as Savior, we can come. How can we come to the throne of God's grace? We can come boldly to his throne of grace and receive help in our times of need. And do we need his help? How often? Every day. So in our lives today, let us not by our decisions we make and the way we live our lives, cause Christ to have to pack up the goods and go somewhere else. I don't want that to happen in my life. The kid's so wrapped up in the things of this world and the hubbub of life, and I've been guilty of it. Have you? Well, nobody has. Well, that's good news. No, it's not. We all have. We've had those periods in life where there was not much room for God. And between now and the time when Jesus comes, we're going to have to start making more room. Going to have to start taking more time. Jesus promises, he stands at the door of our heart and he knocks. And he promises that if we open the door, what will he do? He will come into us. And will sup with us and us with him. Have that special dining relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he will fill us with his Spirit. He will give us his righteousness and empower us to start walking and living like him. With this, might we also say that we need to leave Egypt. Yeah. Mary and Joseph went down into Egypt, but it was only for a while. And they were called out of Egypt for what purpose? So that Jesus could grow and mature and fulfill his destiny in saving mankind from sin. We need to make sure we're following Jesus, amen? Make sure that we're not staying down in Egypt too long. We stay there too long. And is Egypt going to save us? Are the places and things like Egypt going to really do us much good? So we follow Jesus. And we follow Jesus. We make sure that we make room in the inn. What do you say? Luke chapter 2 and verse 7 says that, you know, they made that bed for the newborn Christ child in the manger because there was no room. The text does not say there was no room for him in the inn. The text says there was no room for them in the inn. So, was there room for Jesus? The answer is, well, no, but that's not the only picture. There was no room for them. And who was the them? Joseph and Mary, who was pregnant with Jesus. There's no room for them. There was no room for those who had made room for the promised Messiah. Did Mary make room for the promised Messiah, the promised seed? What did she say to the angel? Behold, I'm what? The handmaid of the Lord. Did Joseph make room for Jesus? Yes. At first, what was he going to do? He found out Mary was pregnant. At first, what was he going to do? He's going to end that thing and put her away privately, make sure she's taken care of, but he was not going to make a public example of her, which showed what kind of man that Joseph was. And then in a dream, the angel came to Joseph and said, don't be afraid to take her because the babe that's in her, that which is forming in her, is of the Holy Ghost. And you're going to be the earthly father of the promised seed. And did Joseph make room for that in his life? Yes. So this is just the simple thought. The text says there was no room for them. Room was not made. But Joseph made room. Mary made room. Did the wise men make room? The wise men made room. And for those who made room for Christ, the world did not have room for them. And as we live today, understanding that we want to make room for Jesus day by day in our lives, we should understand that from the biblical story, that if we make room for Christ, it may be that the world will not have what? Room for us. Now, right now, the world has room. But I believe that times are coming, and I believe they're not far off. Wherefore, the true people of God who are making room for Jesus and the ruling of His Spirit in their lives day by day, time's not far off, or the places of this world, the opinions of this world are not going to make much room for us. But what are we going to do? I want to be like Joseph and Mary. What about you? Doesn't matter what the world thinks. I want to do God's will. I want the love of God reigning in my heart. I want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. I want to be able to receive His love and share His love and keep His commands. I want to be like the wise men. Do you remember in the text, the wise men did three things? The star led them over the place where Jesus was there in Bethlehem. The star led them to the place. Knocked on the door. Joseph let them in. And the Bible says they did three things. What was the first thing they did? What was that? They knelt down. They took a knee. I've asked myself the question. I've thought of this recently, and I ask it of you today. So what does it mean to make room for Christ? What does it mean to be able to stand and understand when the world doesn't make room for us? We are still going to make room for Christ, and we are still going to follow faithfully in His steps. What does it mean? How can I do that? Well, let's follow the example of the wise men. Let's come into the presence of Jesus, and we do that by taking a knee, by kneeling down. The next thing, what did they do? They worshiped Him. Now, some of us might not be able to take a knee very easily anymore. I have found out that that process is becoming a bit more difficult.
but I still like to do it when I can. And what are we doing when we're taking... We're worshiping God. Day by day, letting God know, I don't want to start my day without spending a little bit of time to worship you and to thank you and praise you for giving Christ as my Savior and for giving the Holy Spirit, which helps me to then trust you as my Lord. Take a knee. Take time to worship. And then what was the last thing that they did? They gave their gifts. They brought gifts from halfway across the world that, by the way, supported Joseph and Mary and the babe Jesus during their travels down to Egypt, and they're living there and they're coming back. The gifts of the wise men supported the cause of God at that time on earth. So they took a knee. Ladies and gentlemen, let's take a knee when we can, often, and worship, and then give the gifts that God has given to us to be stewards of back to His cause to prepare the way for the second coming of Jesus. And as we wrap up a new year, well, our conclusion today is going to be simple. As we are approaching the end of the year, let us make sure we have room for Christ. Let's not stay in Egypt any longer. Make room and follow Christ. Regularly take a knee and worship. And give the gifts that God has given us to be stewards of, and give them back into the cause of Christ. And may His appearing be soon, and you and I will play our part. Our Father in heaven, Lord, it's been our privilege to worship You this day. Lord, as we leave this place, we ask that You would go with us, fill us with Your Spirit, and help us in our lives to always make room for Jesus. Lord, help us and empower us to grow closer to You and to share the grand truths of this time to all that we come in contact with. And Lord, once again, we ask that You would keep us to these things. In the worthy and precious name of Jesus, we ask it. And let all the church say, Amen.
You've been listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 11279 East Audagon Street in Holland, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 10:50 a.m. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.